It's not the last Locked On Pelicans, but it's my last Locked On Pelicans. I'm Brett Dawson.
The inbound pass.
The Adams cannot let them get a direct pass into Anthony Davis over there.
Very close to a 5-second count. Davis has the buzzer for the win, and the Pelicans defeat the Thunder.
I was going to open with that Boys to Men song, but I really didn't want to get sued. I'm Brett Dawson. I have covered the Pelicans for the New Orleans Advocate. This is Locked On Pelicans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, and I've been doing both these jobs for a little while now, covering the Pelicans for the Advocate for about a year and doing this podcast for a few months, and they've both been my pleasure and my privilege, and it is time to walk away from both of them. It's a little bit bittersweet episode of the podcast, but mostly sweet for me. I'm very excited. If you follow me on Twitter, you probably know what's next for me. I'm headed to Oklahoma City. I'm in Oklahoma City right now as we speak, recording this. And I'm going to be working at the Oklahoman and NewsOK.com as part of a great team that covers the Thunder. I'm really, really fired up about the opportunity. I can't wait to get started. I get to do that at the end of this week. And just a really, really exciting situation for me. We're going to get into that a little bit. I don't want to make this all about me and my leaving. We're going to talk about the Pelicans. We may talk about the Thunder just a little, be forewarned. But we're going to have Scott Kushner on because that feels right to do in the last episode of this podcast. Now, we were over a little bit of a spotty internet connection while Scott was in New Orleans and I was in Oklahoma City. For the most part, I think that's okay. You might have a couple of glitches sound-wise. But we're not going to have any news of the day today. This is my news of the day, and frankly, I have not kept a close tab on the Pelicans this past week while I've been kind of scrambling to get ready for a new job, to find a new place to live, all that kind of stuff. So I won't bore you with the details there, and we'll get into talking to Scott Kushner here in just a few seconds. Before we dive into that, though, I got to tell you, whether you live in New Orleans like I have or Oklahoma City like I'm about to, the chances are you need sports tickets, you need concert tickets. There's one place for you to get them. That's SeatGeek. I've told you before that I have a lot of experience with SeatGeek. If you don't, here's the deal. SeatGeek is designed to make it easy to buy sports and concert tickets online, and that's a process that hasn't always been so easy. It couldn't be simpler with SeatGeek because it does the shopping for you. You type in the event you want to see. SeatGeek is going to search multiple ticket sites. It's going to give you a list of available tickets, and with each one of those tickets, it's going to give you a deal score, so you know whether you're getting a good deal on each and every ticket that you buy. If you've never used SeatGeek, the best way to do it is with the app. And if you haven't used the app, I'm going to give you an incentive to do that right now. Go download the SeatGeek app from your app store. I'll wait. You can pause this. Once you've got it, go to your settings tab, go to enter promo code, and enter LOPELS. That's LOPELS. You do that. After you make your first purchase, SeatGeek is going to send you $20. It's a great deal. It's a great site to use wherever you live in this fine country of ours, particularly in the great cities of New Orleans and Oklahoma City. And if you use it, you're going to be happy that you did. Full disclosure, the podcast was recorded in about 4 sittings this time, which is a little unusual, more than I normally do. So I hope the sound quality is consistent. Anyway, it felt right to have Scott Kushner on. And so I want to have him on. We're going to talk some about my move. We're going to talk some about the Pelicans. And I think we should just jump into talking to Scott right away. Well, it was going to be basically impossible for me to do a last episode of this podcast and not have Scott Kushner on. So Scott Kushner is here.
I'm back.
One last time. One last go around. Well, who knows? Whoever hosts this next, it's not going to be you, but whoever hosts it next might have you on again. You might be a regular someday in the future as well.
It's great to be a guest because I don't have to edit it or record it or come up with questions. I just get to answer the phone, which is far superior.
This is how I feel about watching your dog. Like, I'm glad I don't have a dog because I got to worry about that all the time. It's constant. But like when I hang out with your dog for 2 days, awesome. Great experience.
Yeah, it's the fun uncle. Yeah, you know? It's that's the experience everyone's looking for.
I'm a good guest dog owner. That's like my that's my lane in pet ownership world.
Yes, a spectacular pet sitter for sure.
So this is weird timing because the season, the preseason is upon us, basically. It's time for the preseason to start, and I'm leaving. So I'm out the door. So good luck with this preseason is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I had my first call with a Pelicans player in like 2 months today. So it is definitely here. So I talked to Solomon Hill for like 15 minutes today. And you're going to miss out on him. He's a really good quote.
Good talker, that guy. Really good talker.
A really intelligent guy and very thoughtful guy who gave some really interesting answers. And I'm pretty excited to write about him this season. So in that regard, you'll be missing out. In other ways, what you've got going on is significantly better than what you had. So I'm very happy for you. I'm very glad that you earned the spot and you pursued a dream. And I think a lot of people in a lot of situations would like to be doing what you're doing and don't, you know, have the testicular fortitude, I guess, as they say in the pro wrestling business, to actually stick their neck out and do it. And I could just couldn't be happier for you. And you know, I think it all worked out. And thank God, you know, it's great that all happened and you earned it because you came here and worked your butt off and you had no guarantee anything. And just it's very cool.
Scott Kushner, everybody. That's all we have time for, is just a bunch of great talk about how great I am. For people who don't know, and by the way, you can call it whatever you want. Most people would call it lack of common sense and utter stupidity to do what I did, which was, you know, not that last year, around this time, actually last year, I just kind of quit my job. I had talked to Joe Schiefelbein, the sports editor at The Advocate. They did not have a full-time Pelicans beat writer and weren't going to create that job. And basically, I quit the job I had, which had a pretty steady paycheck covering Kentucky, and I came down to The Advocate to work as a freelancer. I just up and moved to New Orleans, and that's what I did. And there, it was great. It was an awesome experience. I love New Orleans. I loved covering the Pelicans. I love working at The Advocate, but it was not a full-time job. I didn't have benefits. I was getting paid by the story, and I did that willingly and knowingly and all that stuff. But it's not a great way to live for the long haul because I'd like to make some money and not die if I get sick and things like that. So, I mean, I had health insurance, but, you know, it's nice to have better health insurance and that kind of stuff. So it's an easy choice to go because it's the obviously right thing to do. But it's hard, man. I came to New Orleans without a whole lot of clue about it. I'd visited it, you know, a handful of times. But I like it there. I'm going to miss it a lot. It's been such a great place to be.
And it is not Oklahoma City. There are definitely positives of both places, but they are certainly not the same positives. So I think it'll be a little bit of a different world for you. But at the same time, you know, you can't ask for a much more plugged in NBA audience for certain. And you also can't ask for kind of a more tight knit kind of community when it comes to the way Oklahoma City kind of thinks about its basketball team. And I imagine that will be kind of the way that the Thunder are viewed, the same way, I guess, that the Saints sort of are here, is kind of the impression that I've always been given.
Yeah, it's interesting because, like, just being around town, full disclosure, I am in Oklahoma City already. By the time you hear this, it will have been announced that but when I'm recording this, it hasn't even been announced that I'm hired yet. By the time you hear this, obviously it will be. But, you know, I've been here kind of looking at places and trying to get settled, and it's a long way till I get settled. But, you know, I saw a, you know, a senior citizen, a woman driving a BMW around today with her Thunder Up license plate on the front and her little Oklahoma City Thunder frame on the back. And I saw a store today that's like I think it's called a State Divided or something like that. And it's all Oklahoma State and Oklahoma clothes and stuff and paraphernalia. And then there's this one big corner of it that's all Thunder stuff. And so, yeah, it feels very different from that standpoint. I mean, there is no NFL here. The college teams are huge, obviously, particularly Oklahoma, which is really close, but they feel a way about the Thunder that I just think that in large numbers that people just don't feel about the Pelicans in New Orleans.
Yeah. And a lot of that points to success. Yes. That team landed in Oklahoma City, was immediately supported. And frankly, when the Hornets were there, they were immediately supported just as the number one pro franchise. It doesn't matter where you went to college. Everyone loves the pro hometown team. And then they got really good, really fast. And I do feel like if the Pelicans or the Hornets at the time had ever been able to maintain that momentum that they got from, you know, that first year back after Katrina, when it was sold out the last, you know, 3 months of the season, every game with Chris Paul there as he was going for the MVP and they were the number one seed, all that stuff was building here. And it just never – that they couldn't stay healthy, and then at the same time they could never get that second superstar to pair with Chris Paul. And then by the time Chris Paul left, it really did devastate this franchise and made sure that that kind of never happened. And that's all ancient history at this point to say that it does help when you win. And I think you're walking into a very interesting era over there where they will probably not be competitive, you know, at least like they can't be thinking – championship entering a season for the first time in what, like 8 years, seven years?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I would expect them to be a good team. I think everybody expects them to be a good team, but certainly championship aspirations were last year, those were legitimate, as good as, and even, you know, late into the year, as good as Golden State and San Antonio were. It was a team that was still thinking it could win a championship, and in the playoffs, at times very much looked like it was a team that could win a championship. So I think definitely walking into kind of an uncertain era, you know, given what I've done in New Orleans, I assume that I will jinx them and things will go terribly for them. But I think right now the expectation is that they would still be pretty good. Without, you know, without thinking that they're going to be right there with Golden State and San Antonio and the Clippers, certainly at this point.
Yeah, any prediction of the Thunder would certainly have them like playoff team, but not a championship contender. Basically, like where Dallas has been the last few years, or I guess what Memphis has kind of been. They're sort of in that no man's land, which I imagine will be another interesting thing to cover. Which is like at a lot of places, that's a tough spot for a franchise. Is, you know, does a front office go ahead and make a whole bunch of moves and try to get to that playoff contender spot, or do they start shedding assets and go the other way and try to get top picks? Any of that can really happen. And you know, the way the Pelicans have done it is just about the most unorthodox way, which is like, let's stay competitive but not that competitive. And it's been a failure is probably the right way to put it. It's, I mean, it's not a complete grade because they've been so injured, but I think you can certainly say, you know, the pieces around Anthony Davis that they've built have not panned out to this point. And that's whether for health or otherwise, that's just what the objective fact is at this point based on the record.
Yeah, this feels like it's a very bizarre move the way this has worked out for me, because you know, as you mentioned, the Hornets were there. It was just 10 years ago. We did a thing about it in the paper this year about the 10-year anniversary of the first year that the Hornets played in Oklahoma City. And the franchise moved over there, and they're such a big part, and it's part of what that story was about. It's such a big part of the reason why the Thunder exist. So anytime, you know, there's going to be some connection between any two NBA jobs. If you're covering one team and you go cover another, there's going to be some connection. This is just kind of an odd connection. It feels weird not only because those two franchises are linked in that way, but because we just wrote about that in February, when I certainly had no idea this job was going to be a thing. So it's just kind of it's a bizarre bit of timing.
It is. It's crazy that, you know, there is such a strong connection between the two. And I can distinctly remember watching those games when I would come home from college, and obviously the Hornets games when they were in Oklahoma City were on, and being like, you know, they kind of deserve this team. Like, I'm walking around New Orleans and nobody really cares that the Hornets aren't here. I mean, you couldn't find them at a bar. You couldn't find them anywhere. It's like, it just seemed like it was an afterthought. There was so much going on here at that time that the NBA team, which wasn't that beloved to begin with, you know, just based on the players that they had had and the lack of success really that they had had, to just be gone. It just didn't feel like it was a big deal. And then you go look at Oklahoma City and it was like full every night, and they really embraced an opportunity, which I think a lot of places don't. When they get, you know, like a vagabond team that shows up for a game or something like that, most cities don't really care. But they proved it, and then they've proven it ever since. And I definitely had some bitterness as a New Orleanian toward Oklahoma City for a very long time. But I think that has faded. I think that little rivalry between at least a faction of the fan base here in Oklahoma City has faded over time, just because both franchises have managed to land on their own feet and operate in their own cities. And so I don't think that's an issue anymore. But, you know, now that they're losing Brett Dawson to Oklahoma City, I think you have reignited that hatred toward OKC. So congratulations.
I would imagine, much like Kevin Durant leaving here, I'll probably have to change the name of my restaurant, I would think. They'll probably have to change that to something else.
Brady D's is out of business.
Yeah. The closest thing I have to a restaurant in New Orleans is probably Pho Orchid, because I eat there so much. But
love that place.
I'm going to miss the pho places in New Orleans. There's a lot of stuff I'll miss. It's been so humid in Oklahoma City these past couple days that they are trying to make me feel welcome and make the transition as easy as possible, because the humidity has just been brutal and it feels very much like being in New Orleans. So that's been very nice of them. They can stop. I'm good. I'm cool with it. But there's going to be so much stuff I'm going to miss. I mean, I'm going to miss – I really – you know, I talked about this. It wasn't a full-time thing at The Advocate, but I loved working there. I loved covering this thing. It was my first NBA experience. It was my first chance to kind of get out and do it. And, you know, the NBA is – frankly, it's very fun to cover. And the Pelicans can be challenging sometimes, but it's a fun thing to get to do, as evidenced by the fact that you do it and you don't have to do it. It's something that you enjoy doing.
Yeah, and I've really enjoyed covering the NBA, and I also do it part-time. I think everybody should probably have a full-time job on top of covering Tulane and the Pelicans, so I do it on the side, and I've, you know, it's a lot of hours. I mean, I think the average person might not realize that on a game day, I mean, you're at shoot-around at 11, you leave shoot-around at 12:30, you're back at the arena at 4, and then you don't leave till like almost midnight, you know, somewhere between 11 and midnight. So you're putting in an additional 8-hour workday to whatever it is that you're doing on top of that. And so you were putting in the hours of a full-time reporter, because you were there every day, you know, every single day. I was there some days. And it's just a lot of time, and it's a concerted effort, and it's great because the league does allow for a lot more availability than pretty much any other league. I think baseball probably allows a good bit, just because there's so many games. But that and the coach, I mean, dealing with Alvin Gentry has really, what a better intro to this league than getting Alvin Gentry. And I can't imagine Billy Donovan will be quite as open-minded as Alvin was as far as talking to reporters.
It's going to be interesting, because, you know, I don't know Billy. I have an experience covering Billy, because I covered the SEC for a long time when he was at Florida. So I'm familiar with him. I'm not familiar with him personally in that way. I never covered him. I covered Kentucky, and he was there. You know, he was kind of an adjacent figure. But when I took the job, so many people, Sekou Smith, who's been a friend of mine for a very long time, who's at NBA.com, and Woj at Yahoo and The Vertical, who I've worked with a little bit because we had a connection through Yahoo. Both those guys told me you could not ask for a better guy in your first year to cover. Just from a media standpoint, you could not ask for a better guy as a rookie NBA writer than Alvin Gentry. And that was absolutely true. I mean, just the sheer availability of him. Not only, you know, the NBA requires all that availability. You gotta, if you go on the road, and we don't go on the road a lot in that job, but if you go on the road, you gotta be available at shoot around as the coach. At home, you have to be available before and after the game. There's a whole lot you have to do. But even above and beyond that, you know, I remember there was a game. I mean, I remember this a couple months ago. It's not like I've covered the team for 20 years. But like, you know, we went to a Tulane game when he threw out the first pitch. I never learned to say Tulane, but he threw out the first pitch, and I kind of thought, well, you know, I'll grab Alvin for a couple minutes and we'll talk. And it ended up just this long marathon conversation up in the athletic director's box at the Tulane baseball stadium. And he was always comfortable talking. He would text. He's just, you know, he's just a really, really easy guy to cover.
He is. And I actually, whether this story belongs to this podcast or not, I don't know. But I actually spoke to someone who works at the high school where his kid, who just moved here, is attending. And I was like, what do you think of Alvin? And she was like, I can't believe he's a coach, like a professional coach. Like, he's such a nice guy. Like, what an unbelievably, like, down to earth, nice guy. She's nicer than three quarters of just the regular parents who are like, you know, doctors and stuff and lawyers. He's like, this guy has this incredibly high pressure job, and, you know, is a fairly important figure and has been around forever. And like, you would never know. He's just so normal and such an easy talker. And I was like, that's who he is. And like, there were moments for sure this season where you could sense frustration on him, whether it be coming from us or probably mostly because of the health of his team or the way his team was playing. But he was never a guy who was going to be standoffish because of it. You know, even if he didn't like the line of questioning that was coming at him, it wouldn't stop him from, you know, hanging out in the hallway and talking for a little bit. Or if he, you know, if you had an extra question that you needed to get in, then he would make the time. And those are the kinds of things that you start to understand why he's so well liked in the league. And there's just no doubt that he is, you know, for a first year person covering this league. And, you know, I covered them a little bit when Byron Scott was here. A little bit when Jeff Bauer was here, a pretty good bit when Monty Williams was here, who was a very good person, but was not engaging by any stretch. Monty Williams was not someone who wanted to, like, hang out and talk to you. And then Alvin Gentry, who's, like, you know, the most gregarious, open-minded, whatever person to talk to. It is really a breath of fresh air.
Yeah, and I feel here's the thing I feel like Alvin and I have in common, in that we both have had this 1 year in New Orleans. He'd been here before as an assistant, but I think he said he lived in Slidell as an assistant. He lived somewhere, much like I did, outside the city this past year. But he was a guy who – an NBA coach doesn't have a ton of time. But when he had some time, he wanted to – he heard about Barkas and he wanted to see it. He just kind of wanted to experience a little bit of New Orleans. And I hoped that that was – I hope that's kind of what I was doing that first year too. You just kind of – you want to see what New Orleans is. You want to kind of jump into it and kind of get both feet in there and have the experience. And I think it's cool for an NBA coach who wanted to do those kinds of things.
Yeah, it's definitely like him though, that he went ahead and embraced it. There was no fear on his part of the city, which I think a lot of people, when they get here for the first time, there is a little bit of trepidation of this is nothing like anything I've ever – been a part of, or this it's kind of gross, it's kind of small, it's kind of, you know, clicky. And he never really dealt with any of that, and he just treated everybody well and was excited about the opportunity. And then when given the chance to say that he regretted taking this job, or that, you know, it was harder than whatever, he always said, this was the job I wanted, and this was the job that makes sense. And he was always gracious.
Yeah. And even at one point in the season, late in the season and after the season, saying, knowing everything I know, I would do it, knowing all the injuries, knowing all this. And that's what a coach is going to say. But having spent a lot of time talking to him, I do think he feels like it's a really good job. I do think he feels like this was the right thing for him, and I don't think he has regrets. You know, it's a head coaching job in the NBA. It's pretty good, and he got a great player to deal with. And, you know, we're going to see. You get to stick around and see how it's going to go for him, and I don't know. I have no sense yet of how this team's going to be. I just don't have a great feel for them. And you're going to get a better sense of that than I am. So now I'll put you on the spot. What do you think? What do you think of these Pelicans? What do you think people are going to see?
The Drew Holiday thing and the front part of that schedule is such a terrible combination for these guys. And, you know, you say it's such a long season, and it is. It's a very long season. But when you start behind the eight ball, it's really hard to climb back in it. You know, with the exception of like a really long winning streak, and then you got to be healthy and all those kinds of things. I just think they're going to get off to a super slow start. They have a whole bunch of back-to-backs, and if they don't have Drew Holiday, they just simply are poor on the perimeter defensively, at least. And really, you know, they don't have the level of shooting without Drew Holiday either, because they don't have – I mean, unless Buddy Hield is an excellent, excellent three-point shooter, which he certainly did not show in Las Vegas – and it's very difficult to transition year one to start shooting the way that, you know, he did in college. They really lack a lot of things that they need. So I think they'll be better than they were last year, and it all hinges on health. I think the over-under is like 36.5. I think that's pretty fair.
Yeah, I was going to –
they're like a 38-win team, you know?
Yep, I was going to ask you about that, the 36.5, because I saw that number today as well, out in the midst of my apartment hunt. I saw that number on Twitter. And I wondered, I was going to ask you what you think, over, under.
I would take the over. I do think they're going to be better. I think Anthony Davis, frankly, is just going to be better and healthier and, you know, more locked in, and with better defensive players around him, which will help. And all of that, you know, I just believe in Anthony Davis so much that I don't believe that he's going to be like another 30-win team if he's healthy. I think they'll be, you know, right around 500, and they'll lose some games here and there. They probably either shouldn't, or they, you know, whatever, something happens. they're probably right around 500 is what I would say. And so I would take the over. I think 36.5 is low. I do think that that start could be really rough, though. And I would not be surprised if Drew Holiday comes back sooner than later if he sees things going really badly. And it's just as hard for him to watch it as it is for him to be, you know, away from home, which that can happen to athletes sometimes, which is the idea of sitting there and watching the games and feeling helpless is like a double problem. You know, like if they have something going on at home that's awful to be around and all that kind of stuff, then sitting around and feeling helpless while you watch the games on TV is like a second curse on top of it. And so I wouldn't be surprised if he gets pushed out there a little bit sooner than people expect. But at the same time, it's just a hard road. I mean, having to play Golden State again twice in the first week is just insanity to me. Like, yeah. That is, I can't believe they did that to them again.
It's tough. And obviously, you know, you don't know that Drew Holiday is going to be out. Although with the Pelicans, you probably could have assumed that somebody was going to miss those first two games, you know, because it's
just, well, Tyreek, we already knew.
That's true.
Be out.
And we don't know about Quincy Pondexter either. I've said a million times they're mystery, and people are probably like, hey, now that you're leaving, you can say what you really think about them. But I don't have a great feel for them because of that, because, I mean, I wouldn't have had a great feel anyway with Drew Holiday playing and with an uncertain situation with Drew Holiday. And I think he's going to miss at least a month. I mean, that's the indication I've gotten from almost everybody, at least a month of regular season. It could be shorter than that. It could go considerably longer if you know, depending on how things go. You don't want to speculate about a health situation in something like that. But I just, even with all their pieces, I don't know exactly what they are, and they really interest me. And from afar, they're really going to interest me because I just don't have a great sense. My guess is that 36 is close to bang on with the injury stuff. If they were going to have Drew for a full season, I'd feel pretty confident that they were going to make a jump to at least 40, and maybe even beyond that, and maybe be a contender for an 8. That situation to me just makes it even more unclear about a team I didn't have a great sense for anyway. But I just think a healthy team is much improved, I think, because I think they're going to be better defensively. I think Anthony Davis is going to be better. But man, they're just, once again, they're kind of like it feels kind of like they're snake bit.
Definitely. The front half of the front month of the season, say, would have been hard regardless. They would have walked out of November with a losing record, with the back-to-backs and just who they're playing. They would have had a losing record, but now that losing record could be similar to what you saw last season. And not only does that suck the life out of the team, it sucks the life out of the city, and it sucks the life out of kind of their faith in this group. And then at that point, do you start sensing panic in the front office? Do they start moving pieces that they maybe don't need to necessarily move at that point? It's crazy that this franchise is in this shape, considering how good Anthony Davis is. Yeah. I mean, it really is. He was as good as anybody in the NBA 2 years ago, and now you're talking like they're going to max out at 500. And it's just like, it's crazy to think that happened in 1 year. Like, that this is where we are now, which is that Anthony Davis flat out can't carry a team to be above 500. And that was like an unthought of concept 12 months ago.
My year with the Pelicans, everybody. That's what it went from to what it went to. That was my year in New Orleans. You're welcome.
There will no longer be eating at Bready D's.
No, it's a shame. It's tough, you know. I do what I can, and then I move on. I wreak havoc.
Yeah, Lord knows you killed that Kentucky basketball program.
Yeah. They lost one game the last year I covered them, so maybe
it's not the guy who covered Tulane for 10 years that's covering the Pelicans.
Right. Even Anthony Davis, it turned out okay for him when I was covering him at Kentucky, so it might be the Pelicans more than me.
I don't think it's you. I think it's me.
Yeah. We're going to see what happens with the Thunder, because if that gets messed up, you know, there are going to be some people pointing fingers, and, you know, it's okay. I can take it. I'm thick-skinned.
Yeah. Well, I am looking forward to reading your stuff in the Oklahoman and texting you every now and again and saying, like, good Lord, this is a lot of tweets. Please stop. The same way that you did to me when Tulane baseball was in the regionals. Well, like, this is too much.
I'll still be doing that. I will tweet at you during Tulane fall ball for sure. For sure. Because the thing about that is that your first tweet is too many. The first Tulane fall baseball tweet is one too many.
It just started.
it's just It's just
pitchers and catchers out there yesterday. I can't believe I didn't write anything out there for you.
That is shocking. I will follow along closely. Before we go, without getting very weepy, I came to New Orleans. I didn't know anything about anything there, and I didn't know anything about covering the NBA or covering that team, certainly. And you were a big part of that adjustment, both to the city and to the beat and all that stuff. And, you know, I think together we did a pretty good job, and you were a big part of the reason why I was able to carry whatever weight I did. So I appreciate that a whole lot.
No, man, you came in and you absolutely killed it. And like I said, I couldn't have been more impressed with just the path you took to get there. And, you know, just throwing it all out there for a part-time job. And I think, you know, that would be kind of you were the dream the Advocate was waiting for when they were not going to hire a full-time reporter, but they got not only a full-time guy, but a full-time guy who was breaking news and who was really digging deep into stories and developing sources and doing all the things that, you know, a very seasoned NBA writer would do. So, but you know, you knew the end game, you earned a job. And I look forward to many Thunder Pelicans matchups, and hopefully you make that trip every time. You don't let that that other writer with you ever make that trip to New Orleans.
That other writer, who's a really good guy and a really good writer, named Eric Horn. He's from LaPlace, so we might
be fighting.
I know we might. There might be some rock paper scissors going on between the two of us. We go everywhere, so we're gonna have to work some things out. I'm thinking maybe I'll offer he can have the two trips to New Orleans if I can have the All Star game. I don't think that's gonna be a great bargaining chip, but you know, we'll see what happens. I will make my way back at some point. I'm stealing one of these games one way or the other. I'm gonna make that happen.
Absolutely.
And, I gotta get back to that room food. I gotta get that press room meal in the Smoothie King Center.
Highly upgraded this year though.
Very much so. So went from low class to high class in a span of about a week in December. Suddenly just
we went from prisoners to prison guards. Awesome.
It was incredible, and I will miss it. I will miss a lot of things about New Orleans, and certainly miss working with you. How many times is this on the podcast now? I've lost count for you.
I think we're at the five. We're in the Five Timers Club.
I thought this might have been six, to be quite honest with you.
It could be.
If it's six, you're tripling Mason Ginsburg, so you're just running away.
Just taking laps.
And in terms of like Locked On Pelicans with Brett Dawson, it's an unbreakable record. You're never going to get caught. So.
That's true. I am curious to see where this podcast goes from here. And to all those listening, I would have loved to take it over, but I don't think any of you have any idea how much time it takes Brett to not only wrangle guests for this, but also he produces it, edits it, syncs it, does all that stuff for a podcast that is, let's say, not super lucrative at this moment, at least. So that is a lot of work, and when you're carrying three jobs, it is not something that I am able to do at this point. But I think you did a fantastic job. Is there already someone doing a Oklahoma City podcast, or are you going to be doing that?
There is, but we will do one on the website. I don't know the protocol of promoting a new podcast that is not on the network. So I'll just say that if you go to newsok.com to look at some of my stories, there might also be podcasts there. You might find them. That might be something you could listen to.
Oh, okay. I wonder what he's trying to talk about.
I know. This is subtle. But also, Fred Katz does a great job with Locked On Thunder. So, you know, if you like the Thunder, and if you like the Thunder, you probably haven't gotten a lot out of listening to this. But if you do, you can listen to both those podcasts. They're both going to be very entertaining and very informative, I'm quite sure. And hopefully, there's going to be a Locked On Pelicans again soon with another host so that you can continue making this part of your day, because we really appreciate that.
I think this is great. I think everything is going smoothly, and you will be crushing it on the Oklahoma City beat and having wine and cocktails with Sam Presti very soon.
Well, people who I think almost everybody who follows me for Pelican stuff follows you on Twitter, but tell people how to follow you on Twitter just in case.
Sure. It's at Scott D. Kushner. Scott D. KUSHNER. And I will be, having to pick up the slack on the Pelicans tweets and dropping stories from the Advocate. We will have someone else there to help ease the pain of losing Brett. We will have coverage. I am actually going to be out of town for training camp for the first 5 days. But after that, we will have full-blown, wall-to-wall coverage, and we'll have it at the Advocate anyway. obviously from day one. So although we are losing Brett, we are not stopping our coverage of the Pelicans, where, you know, you come for breaking news and analysis. And I think we have built, the two of us, have helped build the Advocate into definitely a go-to spot for Pelicans fans, which certainly 3 years ago, before the Advocate was even in New Orleans, it was very much an afterthought. And then even then, it was kind of hard to gain traction. And in this past year, basically starting last year at free agency up to now, I think we've really helped build the brand for Pelicans fans. And I can't thank them enough, especially the folks on Twitter who do reach out and tell us, you know, that they're reading and that they like it. It has been a lot. And Brett, you've been obviously a critical part of that.
Well, thank you, Scott. I appreciate that. This has been a great year. It's been very fun. It is still the place to go. I still think it's the best place to go for Pelicans coverage. And you are a very connected person. And so people who want to keep up with it definitely should follow you on Twitter. Definitely should keep checking out theadvocate.com. And I thank you. And I'll talk to you again. We just won't record it and play it back for everybody else.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Until the Pelicans are playing the Thunder.
Yeah, maybe then we'll do something. We'll see what happens.
Absolutely.
All right. Thanks, Scott.
Thanks, Brett. Yep. Congratulations, man.
Thank you. Thanks again to Scott Kushner, de facto mayor of New Orleans. I really appreciate Scott coming on as often as he did, and I thanked him there, and I probably literally can't thank him enough. And as I was sitting down to do this, I thought about all the people besides Scott who I had to thank, and I started making this list, and the list got insane. And I thought to myself, that is going to be 15 minutes of bad podcasting as I sit here and read this list of names that nobody cares about. So I have a whole bunch of people to thank, and I'm going to do that privately because you don't need to hear it. It'll bore you. But I do want to thank you, because some 37 minutes into me talking about my new job, you are still here. And that's kind of been your move since I started this podcast. From the very beginning until now, this thing has grown a lot. I'm kind of amazed at how many people have listened to it. And not just that, but how many people have told me they've enjoyed it. And it's been the same for my work at The Advocate. New Orleans it's a Saints town. We know that. It's an NFL town, and then it's an LSU football town. And maybe it's a Tulane baseball town. I'm not quite sure. And so maybe there aren't as many people who care about the NBA team as there are in some other places. But man, the ones who do, you care about it. And you told me that you read my work, and you also told me that you listened to this podcast on your study breaks or your commutes or while you mowed the grass. And that really is what I got out of this. The extent of what I got from it mostly was you telling me you liked it. And that was enough. That was what I wanted. That was enough to make me want to keep doing it and try to do it as well as I possibly could. I can't tell you how much I appreciated it. Just the feedback that I got, the regular readers, the people who were regular listeners, the people who interacted on Twitter, that stuff was just, it was awesome. And I needed to know you were out there because, you know, I'm just a guy from Kentucky who's a basketball junkie, and I moved to New Orleans to start this kind of NBA dream. And I needed to know that my people were there, my basketball people, and you didn't disappoint me. You were there all the way through this year. And it's been an incredible year and an incredible few months with this podcast, and just thrilled every step of the way. Just loved it. I am so excited. I can barely contain myself. I'm so excited about what I get to do at the end of this week, joining the team at the Oklahoman, working with Eric Horn and Darnell Mayberry and Jenny Carlson and Barry Trammell and Ryan Sharp and this huge list of people who do such a tremendous job with the Thunder and with covering Oklahoma and Oklahoma State. It's a great team. I cannot wait to be a part of it. It was an easy decision, frankly, for all the reasons that I talked about with the job situation in New Orleans and because it's such a great opportunity personally and professionally. It's just awesome. That said, there's still some emotion about leaving the place where I kind of started this NBA journey, and I just appreciate so much those of you who were kind of here for it. It's meant more to me than you know and more to me than I'm going to be able to explain to you here, particularly without just rambling on and on and on. I don't want to do that, but I do want you to know that I really, really appreciate you being here and reading and listening. I know I'm rambling. I'm kind of saying the same things over again. But this has been an incredible experience for me, and it's one I'll never forget. I'm taking a piece of New Orleans with me. I'm leaving some behind. It's just this has been a tremendous, tremendous experience, and I want to thank you for making it that way. David Locke has done a terrific job with this podcast network, and I think and I hope that he will find somebody to continue Locked On Pelicans. You guys deserve it. The fans who follow this team closely deserve a podcast that's daily in the season and is covering this team in the offseason and has some insight. And frankly, the bar has not been set that high, so I would expect that somebody can do a much better job than this. But I want to thank you again for being here. I don't know what the future holds for this podcast. I won't be here, but I hope you will be.
With the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.